Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the middle of the mitten in the Black Diamond Mothership in a field, nutrients everywhere. Craig Russell, the field is looking terrific today. There are flowers abud. Welcome to the show.
And it's not nearly as hot as it was. Oh my Lord.
No.
It was scalding hot.
Scalding hot in the middle of the mitten. Oh. Not only the mitten, but across the bridge.
Everywhere.
All over the Midwest. It was scorching last week. Yeah, and to make matters worse, a week ago yesterday, I'm in Marquette.
All right.
With all my guys.
Okay.
I'm with Paul Ritleski, Roy, Brian, Eric, Paul, Krishak. We're shredding the Margie Giesick. You ever hear the Margie Giesick?
Never in my life.
The Margie Giesick is a mountain bike race.
Okay.
Okay. Point to point. 100 miles and 50 miles.
Hold. I did the 50. Okay.
On a fat bike.
Oh, God.
I'm never doing that on a fat bike again. This race, the total elevation was 10 to 12,000 feet overall.
Wow.
60, 70% of the people fail to complete the course. It's that difficult. It's all uphill. Marquette Mountain. We finished in Ishpeming. It's just brutal.
Dude, I've seen some of the things, some of those places you ride, man. That's crazy.
After 25 miles, I got off my bike to carb up. I almost blacked out.
Oh, God.
That's when I decided in the middle of the day, if it's 93 degrees out and high humidity, can you imagine what your body heat is at that point? So I had to bail out. And a lot of people did. My buddy Brian and Eric, you ready for this? It took them 27 hours to finish 100 miles.
Wow.
Now, I went 25 miles. It took me 4 hours and I think 22 minutes to go 25 miles.
Okay.
Normally, I'll do that in about an hour, hour 40.
Something like that.
Yeah. So you could, I more than doubled. That's how difficult the race was. Anyhow, big shout out to all the organizers and volunteers in Marquette, Michigan of the Margie Giesick. Look it up. MarjieGiesick. But my buddy, Paul Ritleski, who's like 61.
Okay.
Shredder. He did the 50 mile one. This guy is, this guy's 61, pure muscle. And he finished, almost podiumed. I mean, this guy just passed everybody, was in the lead, and the guy's unbelievable. And then my buddy Roy Krantz, Roy finished. I mean, just Jordan Wakely from Grayling was there. Just a lot of my racing guys were there. So big shout out to everybody. And I just love being with everybody. Big Hair, who's coming on the show today, Hair.
Okay.
AKA Jerry Neal, AKA Vince Neal,
Big Hair.
Is in studio and will be on the show shortly. He does a lot of races. In fact, he's in the he's in a lead for a point series in Michigan. But you, okay. The reason why I'm talking about this, nobody cares but you and I. I mean,
you
truly.
Do. You do.
No, it's a Facebook moment. Yeah, nobody cares.
You do.
How often during the day do you tell something to somebody? And do you really think they care, folks?
Not at all.
No.
Not a,
most
not
people
second.
Could care less when you're telling them something. All my friends on Facebook, I could care less. In fact, I'm at the point where I'm liking things, and I don't even know what I'm liking anymore.
I hide a lot of people. Hide a lot of people. I don't hide you because you don't really post enough to where it's a big deal, but I
thank
hide a
you.
Lot of people.
I appreciate that.
A lot of
that.
People do a lot of political stuff. We don't even want to get into any
no,
of that.
No, we're not going to. We're not going
stuff.
To. We're going to talk saying, cannabis and everything
and
but
law,
the political
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, that political stuff is just nutso crazy.
Yeah. I'm yeah. This show never talks. We're not Republicans. We're not Democrats.
We're Americans.
Period.
Yeah.
And we're constitutionalists. We believe
yes.
in the First Amendment,
yep.
huge Second Amendment, Fourth Amendment, Fifth
yep.
Amendment, right against self-incrimination. But hey, this show is huge.
Is it huge? Huge?
No, we have.
Are you fanning yourself? That's how
no,
huge it
I'm
is?
Talking about all the law here.
Oh,
we're
okay.
going to be talking to Big Hair in a moment.
Yeah. Okay.
You've got a couple stories to talk yep. about coming up.
To quote Todd L. Levitt, I have a complaint.
Oh, boy. Let me hear it.
All right. So last week, you were talking about manscaping.
I was.
Explain what manscaping is that you explained, how you explained it last week.
So,
what's manscaping to you? What is manscaping?
Do you okay, if I was to really tell you what manscaping
no,
is.
No, but tell me what your thought of manscaping is.
Okay, so since both Jerry, Big Hair, AK, and myself have a lot of hair on our head.
Right.
I believe in, you know, primming. Primming and being proper. I believe in, you know, shaving. If there's hair all over your body, women don't like guys that take their shirts off and it's shag carpet from the 1970s. Either
yeah.
you razor it off, you get rid of that hair, you go to a place, you don't need shag carpet on your man's back. Good shampoo, good conditioner, some cologne. Just look nice for your woman. That's manscaping to me. That's all I'm saying. A woman doesn't want to roll over and then stick her face in the back of someone with a lot of hair and then get allergies and start sneezing all night.
It was brought to my attention, not actually the definition of manscaping. Let's just say there's some ladies in the office who shall remain nameless, Tammy Thompson Fitz, who heard you talking about manscaping and brought it to my attention that you were nowhere near what manscaping
well, let's
actually,
hear. Let me hear it. What is
the actual
it?
Definition of manscaping? Got it right here. A term used to define male grooming below the belt.
Well, I started saying that at the beginning when you asked me that question, but I wasn't going to go there.
Not last week you didn't. Last
no,
week
just
you
a moment ago.
Adamant, you were adamant about it being hair, and they were
I
like,
tried to keep it family-oriented, and I said the back, not below the belt, if you just noticed a few moments ago
that.
What I said, but I knew what I was talking about.
I understand that. They just wanted to make sure that you knew the actual proper definition of manscaping was not the hair on your head, but the hair other places.
I knew that, but I was being polite because my name's attached to the show, and I wanted to keep it clean, and now you completely destroyed.
They don't care.
We are rated P. We were rated G up to this. We're going to get a different rating now.
PG-13, I think, is where
we're going. What do you say we bring on Big Hair?
Sounds like a great idea.
Big Hair, he picked the music out today, Sammy Hagar. Big Hair, welcome to the show. You're one of my best friends. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
All right. There you go, Big Hair.
Big Hair, you're one of my closest friends. I've been wanting you on the show for so long. You're finally on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
And a big fan of the show, too.
I am. Very educational.
We were sitting here talking before you came in, Todd, and he was telling me stuff about the show that I didn't even remember about. He's got stuff like memorized. I'm like, I don't even remember that part of the
well,
show.
Well, he might remember the show, but I remember a lot about Big Hair because we race together. We
okay.
do a lot of the same races. We both have jerseys from Terry Cycle, a.k.a. Malpe. And I can tell you that this guy, his legs are shaved.
Okay.
Right, Big, and he's got
he
a bit
manscaped.
And he is manscaped, he's right, Big
scaped.
Hair?
And the reason for that is because when we crash, it saves on scabs, because when you have hair on your legs and you're dragging across the dirt, it does not tear apart your legs.
Well, doesn't it also make you a little more aerodynamic as well? I mean, that's why swimmers shave themselves completely. It makes you so you maybe don't have as much drag and coefficiency. You know, like I'm talking like I
right.
know anything about physics or anything.
No, you're correct.
I can't believe that. It
saves a couple gigawatts.
There you go. A gigawatt. Getting gigawatt with it. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
But you know, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. You're married. You got a great wife, and you're a, a biking enthusiast such as myself.
Yep. Well, I got back into biking probably about 2 years ago. Mountain biking, road biking, et cetera, just overall cyclists. And I've met a lot of fantastic people. A lot of fantastic people.
Todd, I love it.
We met at Snow Snake in the middle of the winter on fat bikes, you and I.
Well, I think it was, might have even been before that at Iceman, a couple years ago at Iceman when I first met you, and then a buddy of ours from Harrison let me know about your show. And then we kept running up together. There was Edison. There was Mid-Michigan Community College.
Glacial Hills race we did a couple of months ago.
Glacial Hills.
And this guy, by the way, Craig, big hair has a lot of hair.
Yeah, he does.
In fact, you said his hair is nicer than mine, and his is like the silver fox.
He's got a lot
of hair. He's not even receding.
I know, but it looks, he's got it neat. He's got it feathered back. Kind of got that Michael McDonald look to him, where you look like you're in an Oingo Boingo video or something like that. That's all I know.
Wait, I love, don't get me started with Oingo Boingo.
I know you love Oingo Boingo, but you look like Danny Elfman.
I just want to say Oingo Boingo, but this guy can shred the gnar. He's in the lead for some point series going on across the state of Michigan. Explain what that is.
What it is it's the championship point series, and I happen to be in the Clydesdale classes, which is for some of the Thunder riders, let's just say.
Okay.
We're 200 and above.
All right.
And I probably won't be the top three this year, but as for my second year of competitive racing, I've come a long way with the help of a lot of the people that I've met riding. This weekend, I could hold my fourth place spot with a good race at Pando.
Okay. Yep,
absolutely. Right. I mean, just a great race. Great guy. One of my closest friends. And we have a lot to get to.
Yeah.
Big Hair has a story about the Liquor Control Commission who votes to lift the rule on proximity of liquor stores in relation to one another.
Okay.
I've got some information. We have an email from a listener from Sears, Michigan.
Oh, okay. Sears, great.
And
job.
They want to know about a small claims information.
Okay.
And in relation to mediation. We also have another email from somebody up towards Sheboygan, Petoskey area.
Okay.
Up that way. Is it Roger City up that way?
Roger City is up
that
way.
That's where the email came from.
Okay.
And we're going to answer her question. She wants to know about points on your record, 3 points, 4 points, 2 points. And you have an update on cannabis.
I do.
So we're going to get to all that and more with Big Hair right here, a.k.a. Vince Neil, a.k.a. Jerry Neil, Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle, Todd Levitt, who wants his own rock show, when we come back from break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting each and every Sunday morning from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 98.5 WUPS.
Rock 105 and Rock 95.5. We just rock out of Sheboygan and Traverse City.
Big shout out to Rob, my good buddy whose family owns Hackmatack up in Sheboygan.
Okay.
One of the greatest restaurants. Used to be an old hunting camp back in the 1800s.
Oh, sweet.
Hackmatack, one of those destinations you have to check out up there, right on the lake, Hackmatack. But we're joined in studio, Craig, with my good friend, Big Hair. And Big Hair, welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show again.
Thank you again, once again.
Yeah, what do you got? What do you have there?
What we got is the Michigan Liquor Control Commission is lifting a rule that stops liquor stores from operating within a half mile of each other.
Interesting. Why? I mean, I guess I didn't really know that liquor stores couldn't be that close to each other. I guess I never really think about it, that you never do see like two liquor stores side to side.
I'm pretty sure that liquor license are handed out per population.
Correct.
And if you think about it, as I'm thinking, well, how do they, are they saying liquor stores or how are they defining that? Because you have a Rite Aid and a Walgreens right across the street from one another.
Right.
They sell liquor.
Well, I don't know. They don't sell liquor.
No, they sell wine and beer.
Wine, but you're talking actual liquor. Oh,
we're talking liquor.
Spirits.
Liquor. What's your favorite liquor drink, by the way?
I don't really have one. Not a drinker.
Big Hair? Or what it used to be?
Well, you're looking at a Speedway that sells beer, and then I know in Elma, there's a Speedway, and right next door is a liquor store.
Yeah, but beer and wine and liquor, I think, are two. That's different classifications for what they're saying. I think anybody can sell beer and wine.
Back in the day, my favorite drink was a Miller Long Neck. It was a dollar, and then maybe some tequila, Captain Morgan's. Those were schnapps. Remember schnapps?
Peppermint.
Yeah, we used to go to Windsor when we were younger and drink Bredor. I think that's what it was called, Bredor.
Bredor?
Yeah, real hard red beer, real thick. Oh yeah. Whoa. Listen, you shouldn't be drinking if you're under 21, period. Let's just leave it at that. Let's move on.
I will tell you you a quick little story about the only time I ever really, really, really got drunk in my entire life, which when I was maybe I was underage.
Should we believe this?
Yeah, you should. And I made a friend of mine named Al. His drink was an Al Wallbanger. It was peppermint schnapps and moose head beer mixed together.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
But the liquor, oh boy, well, I'm sick just thinking. I'm ready to dry heat. But the Liquor Control Commission, Big Hair, what is the Liquor Commission looking to do? They're looking to lift a ban that allows liquor stores to be next to each other within less than a half a mile radius. Is that what's going on here?
That's what it appears to me.
What's your thoughts on that? Do we need liquor stores? There's already you can go to grocery stores, the Meijer, the Walmart.
Right.
I mean, there's not just liquor, beer. There, you know, people complain about, oh, we don't want dispensaries in our town. What about all the alcohol that is just everywhere?
It's true. And the thing that's weird about it is the liquor control sets the prices. So it's not like anybody can undercut anybody. Oh, this liquor store has got, you know, this fifth for $5.95, but this liquor store has got it for $5.25. You can't do that. There's a minimum price they have to set, and most everybody sets it at that. So it's not like it's a competition thing. Why is that a big deal, I guess?
I don't know, but I mean, there's just... Look, bottom line is don't drink and drive. What does that have to do with the Liquor Control Commission? My sister, 2 weeks ago, during the day on a Saturday, was almost hit head on by a drunk driver.
Oh,
during
gosh.
The day, the car was going 100 miles an hour in Isabella County. She swerved the last second, and it totally sideswiped her entire passenger door. I'm up racing the Margie Giesick.
Right.
I get out of the race. I get all these calls on my phone. And, you know, your sister was almost in a head-on collision. They arrested the guy. And
she okay?
She's okay, yeah.
Okay,
she didn't get injured, but she swerved just in time.
Right.
But, I just wanted to tell my sister, I'm glad you're okay. So, and I'm an attorney who represents drunk drivers.
I understand
so
that.
So when
totally.
I know. So, you know, it kind of makes you think twice, but everybody's entitled to a defense.
And like you were saying that, you know, the liquor control hands out liquor licenses based on population. So in a place like a smaller town, say like a Clare, that's not going to be big of a deal. Go to some place like, you know, Royal Oak, Wyandotte, you know, places, you know, Detroit City proper, where the population is much, much higher, that possibly could, you know, there's probably more, the population probably doesn't have as many liquor licenses as it could, and maybe you could put liquor stores right next to each other, and maybe they think that's, I don't know, maybe they think that's going to cause some kind of problem or something.
Did you ever hear, guys, that when somebody sells an establishment, it's not the establishment that has value, it's the liquor license that has all the value?
Oh, yeah.
I always hear that.
Totally agreed.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Todd.
Who's in studio?
That'd be Big Hair. Jerry Neal is with us.
A.K.A. Vince Neal.
A.K.A. Vince Neal, A.K.A. Big Hair.
We have a question from a listener.
Not a viewer?
I almost said viewer.
I know.
The question is, small claims court.
Okay.
This individual is suing somebody else for whatever reason I'm not going to discuss, and they called my office to seek my services in representing them in small claims court. Number one, you cannot have an attorney present in small claims court.
Right.
Because, so, you know, if you feel an individual or a business has treated you unfairly, guys, and you believe they owe you money, there is something you can do about it. And if your community, though, has mediation program, you and the person whom you are having a dispute with can try to work the problem out with the help of a neutral mediator. Mediation's good, and we can talk about that later, but if you cannot resolve your problem informally through mediation or facilitation or arbitration, not arbitration is not appropriate. That's like labor contracts and whatnot, right. But through mediation facilitation, you can file a lawsuit in small claims court in the state of Michigan up to $3,000. That was the question the lady had. One, okay. Can I have a lawyer? And two, what's the maximum amount? Up to $3,000.
Oh, I agree. I've had that problem before with roommates. I had a roommate that back years ago just refused to pay his bill.
Okay.
And I ended up having to take him to small claims court. He couldn't pay the money all up front. So what happened was I was able to garnish his wages from his employment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Each court has a division of the district court, which is a small claims court. And you can bring a lawsuit against anyone, guys, who owes you money. You can sue a person or businesses that caused the damage to your property or possessions. And again, the maximum you can collect, because people are always disputing this, through a judgment in small claims is $3,000. And small claims courts are designed and designated to operate informally, as I said, without an attorney present. And that's what I told a lady who called my office. But if you feel the need to have an attorney present with you, you can always file the matter in district court. So you can take it out of small claims and remove it to district court. In fact, if somebody's taken you to small claims, ready for this?
Okay.
You can remove it to district court. So there's individuals out there, apartment complexes, there's credit companies that are always dragging people to small claims court. Well, folks, if you're a defendant, guess what? You can remove that case to district court and hire an attorney.
But most of the time,
people don't know that.
I know, but most of the time, small claims court, that's exactly what it is, small claims. It's not something that you want to spend the services of an attorney, because I know, like you charge. If people want to go to district court or something, you're going to charge them.
You'll end up spending more money on legal fees than you will what the matter's worth.
Exactly.
And not only that, though, but when you're suing somebody and going after a certain dollar amount, a lot of people do it because it's a matter of principle. Mm-hmm. It's not the money involved.
Yep.
But there's so much aggravation that goes along with going to court, period. I mean, I deal with this every day with people. There's nothing pleasant about being a plaintiff or defendant or having to appear in court. So I always ask people, look, this person owes you $250. They moved out of your apartment, big hair. Is it really worth all the aggravation? And so I want them to think about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Weigh that aggravation out.
Another thing, people know more about small claims court than they realize. And you know why? The People's Court, Judge Wapner, Judge Judy. Those are all technically small claims courts. They just happen to be in California where they film them. But they're legal. I mean, she's a judge. She hears the arguments. There's no lawyers. She fines for the plaintiff, for the defendant. And it's legitimate. And that's a small claims court in action, just happens to be videotaped. And she happens to make $27 million a year.
And it's just like on TV in small claims court. You represent yourself. You speak directly to the judge or magistrate or attorney magistrate. In Michigan, you do not have to be a licensed attorney to sit as a magistrate. I don't know if people know that.
Okay.
You provide your own evidence. You can call witnesses that you wish to speak for you. And you do not need to know the law before you appear for a hearing. It's small claims. You simply tell the judge, folks, why you feel that someone owes you money and the person or business that owes you money. And then when deciding whether to file a claim, though, here's what I want everybody to think about. Consider, as I said a moment ago, whether the person you are suing has any income.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes people, out of revenge, want to just file a lawsuit, have them served, you know, just to be a pain. But I don't recommend doing that. You're going to crowd the docket more than it's already crowded in the courthouses. And is it really worth all the aggravation? Ask yourself that. Because if you get a judgment, you still have to collect. And Big Hair, who's in studio with us on the Todd Levitt Law Show, featuring Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle 7 days a week. Did you actually garnish somebody's wages?
I did. The garnishment went on for about a year. I think it was, if memory serves me correctly, you can garnish for 3 months and then you have to renew it.
Okay.
I believe after three,
now, was that a pain? Was that a pain to have to do that?
It really was. The roommate and I, obviously, no longer friends.
Sure.
Obviously, he took advantage of the situation. I think that's why I more or less pursued the situation, because he did owe me money from phone bills, rent, etc. He lived off of me.
It was an emotional thing, and it was a matter of principle. What you're talking about, Todd? You know, you get emotional about it. You're like, I'm going to go sue that guy. I'm going to take him to court. Well, step back, think about it, and go: is that really going to be the best way to go?
The best thing to do is never act on anger or vengeance. If you, even when you speak to someone, we've talked about this on previous shows. If you're having a discussion with a loved one, your girlfriend, your children, employees, and you're angry, take a deep breath, walk away, wait till you cool down, because your thought process and what you will and want to say will be completely different than it would be in the heat of the moment.
That's right.
So think about that also. If you want to take someone to small claims, you really want that aggravation, have time to cool down. Now, mediation, by the way, I highly recommend mediation. There's 24 mediation centers throughout the state of Michigan that can be called for assistance. And parties in a dispute, before you get into the lawsuit aspect and even file a lawsuit, you can mediate actually before or after a lawsuit is filed. And mediation is an alternative dispute resolution technique that is voluntary, it's empowering, it's convenient and effective, and there's a lot of great mediators out there, men and women.
And they also will do use mediators for things like a divorce court, like for the friend of the court. If you are amicable, if you have a good relationship, the two parties, you can use a mediator. Now, Big Hair, we'll get to this when we have to take a break, but when we come back, Big Hair, you have been a mediator before for unions, and you can explain a little more about what mediation is all about.
That is correct.
All right, we'll do that after we take a break on the Todd L. Lovett Law Show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Lovett Law Show, broadcasting once again from the middle of the Mitten and the Black Diamond Mothership. What a beautiful afternoon today. I'm in studio with my good friend Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. Can be heard each and every morning at what time, Craig?
6 to 10.
Saturday?
9 to 2.
Sunday?
8 to 9.
Podcasting?
All the time.
On?
Anywhere. On SoundCloud and Podbean.
iTunes.
And iTunes, Google Play. And the FM radio thing.
Can't say it enough. We appreciate everyone out there that is downloading the free podcast app, typing in the Todd L. Lovett Law Show and subscribing. Keep it up. We really appreciate that. In studio is one of my best friends, Jerry Neal, a.k.a. Big Hair, a.k.a. Vince Neal, who chose the music, Sammy Hagar, for the show. What prompted you to pick Sammy Hagar?
Well, Sammy Hagar, you know, he's an 80s rocker. He's back from, you know, my days of rock and roll.
Our days.
Our days, that, very good. And then it goes along with the theme of the show, working with the traffic laws.
Sure, that's right, because you are a
criminal defense attorney. Yeah,
that's right.
And I do specialize in representing people. And I mentioned my sister earlier who almost got hit by a drunk driver. And, you know, that's one of the things I do. I do defend individuals who are charged with drinking and driving, possession cases, probation violations all over mid, all the way up to the Sioux, by the way. I have clients mm-hmm. across the bridge.
Wow.
Absolutely. Big shout out today to my good buddy, Paul Ritleski.
He's your really good friend?
Very good friend. Okay. He's a shredder and the Margie Giesek, and Big Hair is also a shredder. Man, you can, I got to give it to you. You can shred the gnar on, what type of bikes do you have?
I've got a fat bike, which is a Farley 5, and then during the summer months, I ride a Trek Stash. And then
is that a 29er plus?
That's a plus.
That's what I have. I have that also. I have a 29er plus.
Yep. And then when I do the rail trails and the gravel road rides, I've got a Trek Crockett.
Did you say Crockett?
Crockett.
Okay. Hey, big shout out to anybody out there, your wife, Chris, anybody?
Just all the boys at Terry Cycle that I ride with. How you guys doing? I'll be seeing you on Sunday.
There you
go. I got a better idea. How about a big shout out to anybody who knows the hell you guys are talking about?
Yeah, that was a
That
was a Facebook moment. Nobody cares. God. I'm sorry. We just lost all our Amish listeners. Go ahead. We were talking in the last segment. We were talking about small claims mediation.
That's right. And Big Hair was telling me earlier you actually have done it. Do you do it currently now? Do you mediate, or have you done it in the past?
I have done it in the past.
Okay, so you've mediated for unions.
Correct.
So, like, say somebody's got a dispute, maybe a rank-and-file employee's got a dispute with the union boss. They're not getting enough time off, or they don't get enough time to take their lunch, or the guy next to me stinks really bad, or something like that. And you're the one who stands in, gets in the middle of it before it has to be gone to a board, and you try and mediate the problem to solve the problem.
Correct. What happens is step one, the grievant comes to the union steward. Explains to me the situation.
Right.
And just like Todd, give some advice.
Mm-hmm.
We write the grievance. Then we meet with the supervisor, see if we can basically mediate the situation with the supervisor.
Right.
At that point, if the supervisor, myself, and the grievant cannot come to a resolution, then it goes to the next step. Then the next step, we talk with the HR department.
Right.
See if we can resolve the situation there. After that point, if we can't resolve the situation, then it goes to, with the union that I worked with, it would go to the Lit and Arb Committee, which is a committee that I also chaired, where the grievants come in, present their case. That committee determines if that case is going to go to the arbitration. Then after that, then it goes to an arbitration. And then in the middle of that, before it goes to arbitration, the staff representatives may get a hold of the HR department. Can we work this out without spending a lot of money?
That would be a big hair. Jerry Neal, friend of Todd's, talking about the mediation process. To be honest, I think that's an advantageous place for you to be, that if not only you are the person that they come to right off the bat, but then you're also part of the end process as well. That probably gives you a lot of perspective to say, hey, look, I don't think you've really got a case. Let's try and work something out here. Or you can say, you know what? You probably, if this doesn't get worked out, you're probably going to do okay, because I'm actually the person who's in on the end result as well. That probably is helpful, is it not?
Oh, very helpful. You know, and the biggest part of it is the contract language, understanding the contract language.
What kind of cases go to mediation? We're talking with my buddy Jerry Neal here. We're talking about mediation because you have mediated in the past.
Yes, I have. Dismissals.
What kind of job descriptions are we talking? What kind of industry?
Labor and trades.
Labor and trades. Okay. So you've been a mediator for labor and trades.
We have
a lot of those people out there.
Right.
Right.
And so dismissals are one of the things that are caused for arbitration and for mediation.
Substance abuse, alcohol, not showing up for work, and attendance problems.
If they're not happy with the mediation summary, what's the next step?
After they meet with me, are you talking about after they meet with me?
Yeah, I mean, what you're referring to, are you the final say the end of the whole process?
No, I'm not. I'm not the final. I'm the step before the final process.
What's the final process?
Then if the final process does go to a mediator, you know, the staff that we have at the union, that they're kind of like you, an attorney, or somewhat closer to an attorney than I would ever be. They meet with the HR department. They go in front of an arbitrator.
Right.
You know, basically a judge.
Right.
And both sides present their cases, and the arbitrator gives the solution.
And that's what being part of a union is all about. It's not when you're in part of a union. If, let's say, you feel like you were wrongfully terminated, you could sue. But doesn't that being part of a union take away some of those rights, and you need to go arbitration before you'd actually try and file a lawsuit?
That is correct. Okay. First, being a union employee, you must dissolve all of your remedies through the union. So you've got to exhaust all of those prior to yourself going to get an attorney.
And filing an actual lawsuit.
And filing a lawsuit.
That's right. Because if you work in a non-union shop, that's probably the next step you would go, would be actually to hire an attorney. But being in a union area, you've got to go through and exhaust all those opportunities before you do that.
Correct.
That's interesting stuff. And we start talking about mediation because I was talking about small claims court. But I do have to answer some questions from some listeners.
Okay.
We're going to have to switch gears here for a moment. We got an email, Big Hair and Craig Russell, in regards to drag race. And a lady contacted the office who listens to the show, and her son is charged with drag racing. Now, drag racing, I don't have the definition in front of me, but I can tell you it's where two individuals in vehicles come to an agreement to take off from a point in place and move forward at a high rate of speed to an end place. So it has to be an agreement. So here's what I told the lady. She said, one, you know, what is drag racing? Because she didn't know what this was.
Okay.
I said, first, it's 4 points on your driving record.
Ugh.
Okay. And I can tell you that there's potential license sanctions, but that's exactly what drag racing is. And I said to her, how is the officer going to prove that there was an agreement between your son's vehicle and the vehicle that was at the light next to your son? Let me give you some background information. Since Big Hair chose Sammy Hagar, I can't drive 55. How's that go, Big Hair?
I can't drive 55.
You've been waiting to get him to sing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, come on, let's do it. Boom, 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 boom. But go ahead, Craig.
No.
I love that song. I can't get the melody in my head right now.
Oh, that's okay.
I needed Big Hair to help me out with that.
Yeah.
But here's what I said to her. I said, was your son actually drag racing somebody that he knew? And she said, no, there was just some guy in a vehicle next to him. They never caught and stopped the other vehicle. Therefore, the definition of drag racing, all the elements, I feel as a defense attorney, cannot be proven because you cannot prove that two people agreed to take off from that point in time at an accelerated speed.
So let me ask you.
And by the way, do not drag race.
No,
anybody.
Not a good idea.
In fact, when you take off from a light or a stopped position in a motor vehicle, look both ways and then proceed with caution as you move forward.
So there's my question. So let's just say her son is sitting at a stoplight and there's nobody next to him. He just takes off super fast, drives 80 miles an hour down whatever the road is. Let's say it's Euclid in Bay City. He takes off or Mission in Mount Pleasant. And then the police stop him. What are they going to stop him for if he's not drag racing another car?
Well, this would be, if he's at a high rate of speed and he takes off at a high rate of speed, careless,
okay,
reckless, which is 6 points, it's a misdemeanor.
Okay,
that's beautiful. I mean, that's brutal.
Yeah,
but you know, drag racing again is a race between two or more cars over a short distance, usually a quarter of a mile, and it's a test of acceleration. By the way, but again, there has to be an agreement. Because if it's not an agreement, you can't prove it, then it's something else such as, you know, reckless, careless, or there's, you know, accelerated at a high, you know, too fast for conditions. You could be given a civil infraction too fast for conditions. Big Hair, let's just talk about something where the statute of limitations has told. When was the first time you ever got pulled over by an officer of the law?
The first time I got pulled over, I was probably 18 years old. I was driving down 127, probably right by Beck's. I was coming back from Midland.
All right.
Yeah, I was coming back from Midland. And this was back in the days of CBs.
Okay.
So I
say CBD?
CBs.
Oh, but you know where my head's at. Sorry, you know where my head's at all the time.
CB radio.
CB, like Smokey and the Bandit.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
big old convoy.
Breaker, breaker.
All right. So I got on the CB because I had just passed a couple of truckers going north. So I hopped on the radio and I said, give me a Smokey report, referring to police officers.
Right.
Well, somebody came back and said, you're clear all the way to Lansing.
Oh.
Well, very good. That's where I'm heading. I no sooner hit the gas, got right by Beck's. There was a police officer sitting on the side of the road with his lights off.
Was it Jackie Gleason?
It was not Jackie Gleason.
You scumbum!
So I no sooner got by them, and I mean, we're talking 30 seconds, and they got me for, you know, probably doing about 75 in a 55.
Yeah, because that was back when that area, that stretch there wasn't 65. It was 55.
Correct.
Because that was back before the expressway was built in that part. But so now here's the other question. Do you think that they actually were the ones on the CB radio who told you were clear?
I believe so.
Hey, there we go. And by the way, when you were talking a moment ago about that story and you referred to the CBs and the truckers, that song started going off in my head.
Which song?
Convoy.
Yeah, we got a big old convoy. Ain't she a beautiful sight?
Yeah, C.W. McCoy.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know. I think of Daisy Dukes all of a sudden. I don't know where that. Hey, we have to go to break. We're talking to my good friend Jerry Neal, a.k.a. Big Hair, Vince Neal. He's one of my best friends. He shreds the gnar on a bike. single tracks, road, gravel, you name it, he does it. He shaves his legs because gives him better wind resistance, not because it avoids scabs. When we come back from break, we have a lot more law to get to on the Todd Eleva Law Show, by the way. A listener just emailed us, and wants to know the definition of reckless driving.
Uh-oh.
We'll provide that after a word from our sponsors.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Lovett Show. This is Big Hair, a.k.a. Vince Neil. Welcome back.
Hey, it's wow, that was outstanding. You know, if you're just tuning in and you miss any portion of the show, catch us on Podbean, SoundCloud, and iTunes. One of my best friends in studio, Jerry Neil, we met through biking years ago, and we always talk on this show that if you have a passion for something, it's not necessarily the activity of the passion. It's all the men and women who enjoy the same sort of activities you do, whether it's hunting, we got bow hunting coming up, fishing, a lot of big fisher men and women out there working on cars, motorcycles. We happen to be cyclists, mountain bikers, and that's how we met. And in fact, my entire group of friends is basically mountain bikers.
That's all I've got now, pretty much, is moving up here to God's country. North of 57, I have met a lot of just absolute beautiful people, men and women alike, that, like Todd said, share the same passion as cycling.
Now, why do they call you Big Hair? You do have great, Craig, he's got some great hair.
Great hair.
And it is good. You don't have, you're not balding anywhere.
No,
except
no.
Your shaved legs.
No. I actually walked into the Terry Cycle one day, and one of the workers there, Mike, I walked in, took off my helmet, my hair was just all over the place, and well, how you doing, Big Hair? That's how it started, and that's how it stuck.
We got some great bike shops all over the state of Michigan, from Einstein's and Harbor Cycle up there along the Lake Huron up there, I think in Tawas area. I might be off on that where it's located, but also, Ray's Bike Shop does a great job. They have locations in Clare, Midland, Bay City. So big shout out to Brad and everybody at Ray's Bike Shop, also together with Malpia, Terry Cycle. Hey, before break, we were talking about reckless driving.
Yeah.
Somebody want to know the definition of reckless driving? In Michigan, it's a 6-point misdemeanor. Basically, the lay terminology for a definition is a complete disregard for the safety of others. If you're operating a motor vehicle on a public highway or a roadway or a street or a side street in such a manner, speeding, swerving, in and out of parking lots, running stop signs. Objectively, that's a complete disregard for the safety of others.
Right.
I think we can all agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Reckless driving, 6 points and there's license sanctions.
That's not good.
That's not good. Usually,
six points is going to screw
you. Yeah, careless driving is 3 points. How about disobeying a traffic signal or stop sign or improper passing? How many points?
One.
Big Hair?
One.
Three.
Wow. Didn't realize that's harsh.
2 points is if you've got 10 miles an hour or less over the legal speed limit.
Okay.
2 points.
Okay.
I mean, I can go on and on about this stuff.
I know you can.
4 points, 16 miles per hour or more over the legal speed limit is also 4 points. Refusal to take a chemical test, 6 points.
That's crazy.
Just some information. Hey, yeah. You got a cannabis update.
I do a little bit of a cannabis update. This is actually from a think tank called the Consumer Research Around Cannabis. And they did a survey of 27,500 people in places where cannabis is legal. Washington, Colorado, etc. They ask them, after using their medicine, partaking, where would they go when they get the munchies?
Well, I have big hair. What do you guess?
Any guesses?
I'm going to say probably down to the basement, turn on some Pink Floyd.
Where do they go to get the munchies?
After them, they get the munchies.
Where do they go? Where do they go eat?
Well, geez, they're probably going to go to McDonald's, Burger King.
I'm going to say, looking back to my fire up chips in the 80s, Taco Bell.
Sure. All right, here we go. Number 10, Carl's Jr. You can tell the West Coast feel because that's also Hardee's. 9, Jack in the Box, another West Coast thing. 8, Chick-fil-A. 7, Arby's. 6, Kentucky Fried Chicken. 5, Subway. 4, Burger King. 3, Wendy's. 2, Taco Bell. 1, McDonald's. They think mostly it's because there's more McDonald's than there are anything else.
Now, I don't know where the correlation is between where people go when they have the munchies and what I'm about to complain about on the radio here.
Okay.
But we always talk about our dogs, our pets.
Sure.
I have a couple German Shepherds.
And a cat.
And the cat is back.
You got the cat.
The cat is back. Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, the cat. Yes, the cat is back.
I don't know that song, but I'll.
You do. It's The Bitch Is Back by Elton John.
How's that go?
Because the cat is back.
You know, never been an Elton John fan.
Yeah.
Can't do it. But here's my complaint.
Okay.
You know, thank goodness there's motels and hotels all over the state and the country that allow pets.
Great.
The problem is when you have two big German Shepherds and you're in a hotel where they allow pets, they put you in a section of the hotel or motel where all the other pets are. So last week, I happened to travel over the bridge. I had to go back to Marquette, my second home, for something. And I'm staying in a hotel up there, and I'm thinking, great. You allow pets. This is great. It's at the end of the hotel. My dogs are going to be able to get out the door, do their thing. It's going to be a great night's sleep. My dogs, big German Shepherds, male and female dogs, were involved in an all-night bark-off with these little teeny chihuahuas. I think there was a pug. I mean, this thing went on all freaking night. Honest to goodness, I'll stay in a tent with my dogs. I'll stay outside with no cover rather than stay in this hotel again where it was like a Disney cartoon with all the dogs barking. You would think they would spread you out. I mean, of course the dogs. My dogs can smell a dog a mile away. No. This was a nightmare.
Because they keep them all in one section because they have to spend more time cleaning.
No.
Yes, they do.
So have
they
you ever, them all Big Hair, section. Help me out on this one. Do you feel me on this one? You have pets?
I have two Australian Shepherds. We went down to Shipshawana.
What's their names?
At the time, we took Sadie and Shelby.
See? He says his name. What's the name of your dog?
My dogs are watchdogs. Why would I want anyone to know the names of my dogs? Craig and I have a dispute all the time. I'm just saying.
I didn't tell you the other dog.
Oh.
There's.
Hold on. You've just been Walter White'd.
I didn't tell you the guard dog.
That's what I'm talking about. All right,
the guard dog right. I got now. I didn't give you that.
That's what I'm talking about.
But we went down to Shipshawana.
Okay.
And at the time, and this was two other dogs that I had, Sadie and Shelby. And so, again, pet-friendly hotel. They put us in a room. No problem. Other dogs were there. The problem we had, every knock on the door, every time somebody walked down the...
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
You've been Walter White'd.
My Walter White bobblehead.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah. But so you get what I'm saying here. This thing was, I'm telling you, and you have German Shepherds.
I got Australian Shepherds.
Yeah, those are beautiful. They should meet our dog. We should have a doggy get together. We're a law show. How do we end up talking about dogs?
Because you had to complain about the dogs in the hotel room and blah, blah.
Big
blah.
Shout out to Deputy Williams at the Kalkaska Courthouse, by the way. Just I want to give a plug to Deputy Williams. He does a great job. And all the men and women out there serving in law enforcement across the state of Michigan and all our veterans who have returned and are still defending our right to freedom of speech.
Have you been to Kalkaska before?
I love Kalkaska.
What's Kalkaska known for?
The Iceman.
Iceman.
Oh, the Iceman coming.
No.
Iceman.
Yeah, big hair.
No, Iceman no, beginning.
No. Yeah. Do you know what the Iceman is, Craig?
It's a mountain bike race.
Yeah, it's not just a mountain bike race.
It's the mountain bike race.
All right, now, when you're driving down 131 right in the middle of Kalkaska,
it's funny how we both said
Do they have a huge statue of a mountain bike or an Iceman? No. What do they have a huge statue in Kalkaska for?
a piece of lumber.
Oh. Do you know, Big Hair? You know what they have in the middle?
I'm paying attention to the road. I'm not looking around.
I got a ticket going through Kalkaska one time. Because
you can't drive 55.
No, it's a trout. They have a big, there's a big statue of a trout. The National Trout Festival is held in Kalkaska. It's a trout area. You know, the fish.
I thought I had the right answer with a piece of lumber because we're such a big lumber state.
I totally agree. Yeah, that's all we've got here is pine trees.
Pine trees.
The state fish is a trout. The National Trout Festival is held in Calcutta.
Have you ever seen a gar pike before?
I have not.
Okay. When I lived downstate on Lower Pettibone Lake, I was out shining one night, and I'm in my kayak, and I'm just along the side of the lake bed there. Something hit my kayak. I shined down. This gar pike, for those people out there, Larry, everybody who fishes, a gar pike, look it up. I thought it was a prehistoric creature coming to eat my kayak. Gar pikes are just scary looking. There's my fish story for you on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hey, you know what?
We got to go.
Show's over.
Big Hair.
Thank you very much.
Will you come back?
I will.
Absolutely.
Look at all the law we talked about today on this law show and a bunch of other crap too.
Yeah, I forgot to tell listeners if they're in Bay City to go to Studio 23 on Water Street, because my good buddy Paul Ritletsky, who is an amazing biker who I talked about earlier, but he's also an artist. He takes recycled bike components, Big Hair, and makes these light fixtures out of them.
Oh, sweet.
It is the most, and we're bikers. You got to check out this artwork. Get over to Studio 23. You can vote for him. They took the top 50 artists. They picked my good buddy Paul, and I'm going there this week to vote for my good friend Paul over at Studio 23.
Wow.
That's my shameless plug on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Big Hair, thank you for being on the show. It really means a lot to me.
No, I was really glad to be here with you guys. I was very nervous coming in here for the first time. Very, very nervous. It was great. This is fantastic. Again, this is very educational. A lot more people need to listen to your show. It is very educational each and every Sunday.
You'll get another shot at it, too, coming. You'll get another shot next month.
Yep.
I'll be here. Because
you're a big personality. I mean, you're larger than life, and you've got that personality.
And the hair.
And the hair.
And the hair.
You've got a lot of hair.
All right.
I got to get a wig or hair extensions. We have to go, folks. Listen, thank you for tuning in. I want everyone out there to have a happy, healthy afternoon, morning, evening. Hug someone with consent. Go out and do something. Just do anything. We'll see you this time next week. I'm not just a litigator. Take us out, Greg Russell. Big Hair was in studio. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing, and New Millennium Pawn Shop in Mount Pleasant, paying top dollar for gold and silver.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.